The roads were heavy, the night misty. My conductor let his horse walk all the way, and the hour and a half extended, I verily believe, to 2 hours. At last he turned in his seat and said, "You're no so far for Thornfield now." Again I looked out. We were passing a church. I saw its low, broad tower against the sky, and its bell was tolling a quarter. I saw a narrow galaxy of lights, too, on a hillside, marking a village or hamlet. About 10 minutes after, the driver got down and opened a pair of gates. We passed through, and they clashed to behind us. We now slowly ascended a drive, and came upon the long front of a house. Candlelight gleamed from one curtained bow window. All the rest were dark. The cab stopped at the front door. It was opened by a maidservant. I alighted and went in.
"Will you walk this way, ma'am?"
said the girl, and I followed her across a square hall with high doors all round. She ushered me into a room whose double illumination of fire and candle at first dazzled me, contrasting as it did with the darkness to which my eyes had been for 2 hours inured. When I could see, however, a cosy and agreeable picture presented itself to my view. A snug, small room, a round table by a cheerful fire, an armchair, high-backed and old-fashioned, wherein sat the neatest imaginable little elderly lady, in widow's cap, black silk gown, and snowy muslin apron, exactly like what I had fancied Mrs. Fairfax, only less stately and milder-looking. She was occupied in knitting. A large cat sat demurely at her feet. Nothing, in short, was wanting to complete the beau ideal of domestic comfort. A more reassuring introduction for a new governess could scarcely be conceived. There was no grandeur to overwhelm, no stateliness to embarrass. And then, as I entered, the old lady got up and promptly and kindly came forward to meet me. "How do you do, my dear? I'm afraid you've had a tedious ride. John drives so slowly. You must be cold. Come to the fire."
"Mrs. Fairfax, I suppose," said I.
"Yes, you're right. Do sit down." She conducted me to her own chair, and then began to remove my shawl and untie my bonnet strings. I begged she would not give herself so much trouble. "Oh, it's no trouble. I dare say your own hands are almost numbed with cold. Leah, make a little hot negus and cut a sandwich or two. Here are the keys of the storeroom." And she produced from her pocket a most housewifely bunch of keys, and delivered them to the servant. "Now then, draw nearer to the fire," she continued. "You've brought your luggage with you, haven't you, my dear?"
"Yes, ma'am."